justice activism, including those who come to D.C. from across the nation or from across the world to speak truth to power. Whether it's the war machine, climate change, the movement for black lives, healthcare, education, the economy, housing, voting, corporate power, immigration, criminal justice, or environmental justice. Check out On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital, Fridays at 10 a.m., here on your station for jazz and justice.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we're listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
This is a journey.
Redeem a full of culture.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing. I didn't know nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say. Say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
With the finger roll, plus the foul.
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome to The Collision. This is usually the part where I say, he's Etan Thomas, he's Chuck Modiano, I'm Dave Zirin, here at your home for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM WPFW, trying to change the world one broadcast at a time. But today, Etan is off doing his family thing. It is sports related. Chuck is off doing his thing. It is all me, Dave Z, talking about the intersection of sports and politics with you, and I couldn't be happier to do it. So let me just give you a rundown about what the show is going to be, and then we will get started, because this is the only place where sports and politics collide. Let's break it down if we could. First and foremost, you should understand that this week's show, you know that expression, I believe it was in the movie Mary Poppins, about a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. This show is going to be a spoonful of medicine helps the sugar go down. So the first thing I'm going to talk about with y'all is something serious. It's a monologue that I've put together that I think is very important, and it's something that you're not hearing anywhere else. I mean, we've all been talking about what's been happening in Gaza to the Palestinian people since October 7th, as Israel has just waged a total war on the civilian population there. Well, I'm going to talk about something you don't really hear about, and that is Palestinian youth sports. How often do you ever hear about that? What do kids play in Gaza and in the West Bank? And what does it mean that Israel, I would argue, has waged a war on youth sports? And what are the cumulative effects of that? That sounds interesting to you at all? Keep the dial right here. I guarantee you it's not something you're going to hear anywhere else. Now, if we get through that, and I know we will, but if we get through that, I know you're going to stick with me, but if we get through that, Coach Kevin McNutt wrote me up some what he calls Zirin Zingers, a series of questions about the National Basketball Association. That should be interesting. I have no idea what the questions are, but I'm going to read them off. Coach sent them to me. He wishes he could be on the show, but he couldn't do it. So he actually wrote me questions that he wanted me to answer for the show. And when we get through all that, we're opening up the phone lines where you can ask me anything sports and politics related, anything particularly related to the questions we're talking about on this show, particularly related to the world of hoops, but not exclusively hoops by any stretch of the imagination. And that phone number, for those who know it, we're taking calls at the bottom of the hour. That's 10:30 a.m. at 202-588-0893. Call whenever. We'll put you on hold. 202-588-0893. But first, I want to say something that you're not hearing on any other sports show, and certainly not any other politics show. And I think of this as the topic of what I call killing hope, the war that's being waged on Palestinian kids and Palestinian sports in Gaza and the West Bank. Okay, look, despite all the divisions and barriers that plague the world, there's one common thread: the joy that young people feel when they play. It is a common cultural language. And the international joys of play, the joys of sports, provides a precious vision of a world at peace. It unites people. That's why it is so brutal when a war obliterates safe places for children to play and kills their teammates, their friends, and their heroes. Now, for the young people of Gaza, that was the case long before October 7th. Living in an open-air prison of 2.1 million people and surrounded by barbed wire, checkpoints, and the sea had always made playing sports a precarious venture for the young, a dangerous one. And yet, in an act of play that doubles as an act of resistance, the young of Gaza created a rich and varied sporting culture. The number of sports played in Gaza before October 7th included passions for soccer, basketball, skateboarding, rowing, aka crew, and a new as well as fast-growing love of, yes, ultimate frisbee. Huge in Gaza, ultimate frisbee. Yet even with networks of leagues, coaches, and playing fields, there were blockades and walls that kept Gaza youth sports organizations from joining their teammates in the West Bank, not to mention Greater Israel, to play in contests, either local or international. Unlike youth travel teams in the rest of the world, and my son is on a youth travel team, and it has the capacity to broaden the horizons of the young and create lifelong memories and friends, generations of child athletes in Gaza have been stuck in an open-air prison not of their making, unable to see the majority of their own country. This de facto prohibition of youth sports being able to fully flower, it's not merely a byproduct of Israeli oppression. It's not just a byproduct. It is central to Palestinian subjugation. When you kill the games of the young, you're killing their dreams. When you drive a stake through their dreams, you are killing hope. It is the death of normalcy, the effort to smother that unique language of the young at play. It is Israel acculturating Palestinian children to feel immobilized, frustrated, and defeated. And this was all before October. Since October 7th, we've seen Israel wage a total war on the civilians of Gaza, and with it, any semblance of normalcy or youth sports has become a casualty of the carnage. By December 2023, and that's as close as I can get to the nearest numbers on this, at least 85 Palestinian athletes had been killed in Israeli attacks. 18 were children, 37 were teenagers. 55 of them were organized soccer players. How can youth sports be played in the shadow of war when Israel's killing of children is taking place, according to the United Nations, at an unprecedented rate? There are too many stories like that of Mushahad Saida, a 14-year-old soccer player killed in an Israeli airstrike. His father, Mohammed, said afterwards in shock, "I saw him and I knelt over his body, not knowing what to do." Stories such as this one has young people huddling in refugee camps instead of dribbling a ball on their feet. Israel has also been, in the words of DC chef Jose Andres, founder of the food aid organization World Central Kitchen, whose workers were targeted and killed in an Israeli airstrike, using food as a weapon of war. When families are striving to not starve to death, play, which by all means should be the right of all children, becomes a luxury. Another part of killing the hope of children is taking out their heroes. Hundreds of Palestinian athletes have been killed since October 7th, not to mention team managers, office workers, and all sorts of other folks connected to the sports community. Entire stadiums have been leveled, and some, like Yarmouk Stadium, was turned into a prison. Most notably, soccer star Mohammed Barakat, known as the Legend of Khan Yunis, was killed by Israeli forces. Barakat was a Palestinian national team member and the first player in the history of Gaza's Palestinian League to score 100 goals, which is particularly remarkable when you consider that the Palestinian Soccer League has only been able to complete a handful of seasons since its founding in 1977 due to disruption caused by the occupation. Now, before he was killed by Israeli airstrikes, Barakat filmed his last public words. And I would read them, but they're just too heartbreaking for me to even share with you on the radio. But he just says, "This is where I end." Another who was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza City was Palestinian Olympic soccer team CEO Hani Al-Masri. The 42-year-old was a midfielder for the Al-Maghazi Club and then the Gaza Sports Club before retiring to coach. I want people to think for a second about what it would feel like if Israel bombed the home of LeBron James, or if they sent a drone to kill Lionel Messi. The shock and outrage would reverberate across the globe, not only because they would be killing a famed civilian, but because when you kill someone that children adore, you're also killing their capacity to access those same feelings of love. It's about tearing at the desire to live. Now, one might think that international sporting bodies like FIFA would be up in arms over Israel's brazen killing of coaches and players. After all, FIFA president Gianni Infantino in 2022, just 2 years ago, in responding to human rights critics of the decision to host the World Cup in Qatar, this is what he said. He said, "Today I feel Qatari. Today I feel Arabic. Today I feel African. Today I feel gay. Today I feel disabled. Today I feel like a migrant worker." Well, clearly there is one thing that Infantino does not feel, and that's Palestinian. FIFA has been silent while its member clubs in Gaza have been bombed to dust. Their only action was to send a letter of condolence to Israel, after the Hamas killings on October 7th. This is shameful. The hypocrisy of FIFA is astounding. After Russia invaded Ukraine, Putin's nation was condemned and sanctioned in the harshest terms. But symbolic of the dehumanization Palestinians must endure, Israel's actions have not merited a word. As for the International Olympic Committee, another organization that sanctioned and condemned Russia, they have said little more than that any protesting of Israeli athletes at the 2024 Paris Olympics will not be tolerated. In the past, there have been calls to ban Israel from international athletic competition due to the ways that Israeli apartheid mangled Palestinian sports operations. This question is now stoked with a new urgency. In the past, when efforts to isolate Israel have been made, the Israeli response has invariably been that they're being held to a higher standard than other countries also engaged in awful acts against civilians. And this higher standard that Israel is being held to is just rank anti-Semitism. That's absurd. How could anyone short of a zealot not see that the genocide over Gaza, the killing of Olympic coaches and players, the use of stadiums as prisons, and the targeting of children cannot be tolerated? What is the point of having these athletic bodies allegedly devoted to peace if they choose silence in such a dire moment? When there was an international movement against South African apartheid, people like 1968 Olympians Tommy Smith and John Carlos protested against the country being a part of the games. That movement must be revived. To have Israel play in these events before the world would be a form of sports washing, where Israel gets legitimized as part of the community of nations when it is attempting to assassinate an entire people. Playing sports at its best is about freedom, about dreaming of achieving something greater than you thought was possible. As the great Olympian Wilma Rudolph said, "Never underestimate the power of dreams and the influence of the human spirit. The potential for greatness lives within each of us." Nothing marks the nihilism of Israel's genocidal war and ongoing occupation quite like this indisputable fact. They don't want the children of Gaza to dream. In plain fact, they don't want the children of Gaza to live. Well, that's my words about that. Let's take a quick break right now. We'll be back right after this with a bit of a lighter mood on the show. But like I said, we got to put down the medicine before we get to the sugar. We'll be back right after this on The Collision. We are back on The Collision, where sports and politics collide. Mike, tell everybody who we were listening to.
That was Uptown Kicking It. It was a collaboration of different MCs, but for that one particular was a Heavy D.
I heard Heavy D there. Chunky but funky, of course. we're back here on The Collision. Thrilled to be here with you all today. I know that first part was really sad, but I had to get it out of me if I was going to make it. The next part of our show, people might know this from all the times that Coach Kevin McNutt has been on with us. He likes to do this segment called Zyron Zingers, my last name being Zyron, Dave Zyron. Hello, hello, hello. Now, Zyron Zingers is when Coach just hits me rat-tat-tat with a series of questions, and I am supposed to answer them without knowing what the questions are. Coach this week, not surprisingly, cannot be on the show because the man has a job. Shame on him. But what Coach did do was he emailed me a bunch of these questions, which I have not looked at till this very moment. All I know is that they are basketball related. So I am going to answer these questions and figure out whether I can help enlighten you, our listening public, about what's going on right now in the NBA. And if at the bottom of the hour, 10:30, you've got something to say about anything that I'm saying, we're taking calls at 202-588-0893. By the way, before I start, though, a big shout-out of solidarity to the professors over at Montgomery College, including Professor Gus Griffin, for showing Occupation of the American Mind, a brilliant documentary about the way Israel influences discourse in the United States. And they were condemned for being anti-Semitic, for all sorts of things, for showing hate on the Montgomery College campus. I have seen the film, unlike the people condemning it, and it's not that at all, not even a little bit. That's an utter slander. And I really respect the people who put it on in the face of that barrage of neo-McCarthyism. So shout out to all y'all. All right, let's see what Coach has to say to me right now. I'm listening to you, Coach, and you're lucky I'm not doing an impression of you. All right, so Coach's first question is, let's discuss the NBA play-in format. Do you agree with it as of now, 20 of 30 teams of the league make the playoffs? He should say postseason there.
And does this diminish the importance of the 82-game regular season? All right, so folks who don't know, the NBA has something called the play-in, which is happening right now, and that is the 7th to 10th best teams in each conference play each other in this one-and-done tournament to see who gets to make the actual playoffs. It's incredibly complicated. It's for the sort of average fan, someone who's not clued into this 24/7. But let me just say that I love it. I do love it. I don't care that 20 of the 30 teams are playing in the postseason. I don't think it devalues the 82-game season. I think it's beautiful because it means more teams are competing at the end of the year. There's less tanking. That's when teams lose on purpose. A big pain in the you-know-what. So I love the play-in tournament. Bring it on. More teams, more excitement. I love the one-and-done format, not a best-of-seven series where you play. If you win, you're moving on. If not, adios, enjoy Cancun. So big props to the NBA. There are reasons not to give props to the NBA, a million reasons, believe me. But on this one, I think they got it right. And by the way, the NBA, Adam Silver, who runs the NBA, a bunch of rank hypocrites. And we could talk about this if y'all want to call in at the bottom of the hour at 202-588-0893. They are such hypocrites because they just banned for life a player by the name of Jonte Porter for betting on himself and betting against his team. And they said it violates the integrity of the sport to do that kind of betting. Now, I agree that no player should be betting on the games. Obviously, it does ruin the integrity of the sport. What I don't agree with is hypocrisy. And the NBA has gone all in on gambling. They have gambling, their own gambling website. They're tied up with ESPN, which has its own gambling concern called ESPN Bet. Gambling, 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 wherever you go. Anybody who's watched a game knows that that's the case. And gambling is very addictive. According to the American Psychiatric Association, it actually changes the composition of your brain when you gamble too much. And yet here we are, the NBA banning a player for life for doing what the NBA is putting out there. I mean, it really is. If one has an addictive mindset, this is like the NBA saying, okay, you want to be on a diet? Well, guess what? We're putting you to work in a bakery and don't eat a darn thing. So I've got a lot of problems with the hypocrisy of the NBA on this. But when it comes to the play-in game, good for them. Next question from Coach Kevin McNutt. Speaking of the play-in format, it's interesting that traditional powers are in the play-in. Lakers, Warriors, 76ers, Heat. Your thoughts? Well, I don't have a lot of thoughts. The 76ers wouldn't have been there if their center, Joel Mendeed, wasn't injured. The Warriors, to me, Draymond Green ruined their season by getting suspended repeatedly. I'm not a big fan of Draymond Green. I think he's a bully. I hate the fact that he punched current Washington Wizard Jordan Poole in the face when they were both on the same team. I thought that was, pardon the expression, dirty pool. As it were.
So what you're saying, Dave, is you didn't like, you know, 80s basketball.
I loved 80s basketball. Are you kidding me? But even in the – and I didn't mind it when – and I don't even mind it. You know, I've played enough ball, Mike, that I know that sometimes things get physical, and I get that. But I don't care what era. I don't care what sport. Whenever I see big guy punch little guy, particularly sucker punch little guy – It gets my dander up.
I hear you, Dave. Bill Laimbeer.
Yes, Bill Laimbeer. Or as my man Peter Vesey in the New York Post used to call him, Bill Stale Ale. Get it? Laimbeer? Stale Ale? I always liked that. He called him, yeah, Bill Stale Ale is coming to town. Let's get him. I always liked that. All right. Next question from Coach. He said, So it's just to say that I have no big feelings about the fact that these teams are down. You know, it's what happens. It's cyclical. I'm glad that they're in the playoffs. I hope they all get beat because I'm tired of all of them. But I like having them in the mix because it means more attention. They all have their own rabid fan bases. And the more LeBron, the better. I'm a LeBron mark. I always will be, and I don't care. All right. Next question. Meanwhile, what's your take on the new kids on the playoff block? The OKC Thunder, that's Oklahoma City, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the East 2 seed, your Knicks. Okay, before I answer this question, y'all got to know that each of these teams have a tremendous, tremendous emotional impact for me. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I cannot stand because that team used to be the Seattle Supersonics, and I hold a grudge. They moved, yes, about 10-plus years ago, and I should probably get over it, but I hate that there's no basketball in Seattle, which is one of the great basketball cities on the face of the earth. And Oklahoma City and the state of Oklahoma, I've got no truck with them. I think that there are – that is not a good place. And the idea that they are rewarded with an NBA team while they're also violating people's rights all over that state, I mean, bothers me to the nth degree. So I'm not a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have players I like for sure. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're amazing all-star. He maybe should be the MVP this year in the entire league. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But nah, Oklahoma City, I want them humiliated and sent back to Seattle. Yeah, I hold a grudge. And I always will, because Seattle's, like I said, one of the great basketball cities. And the taking of them from Seattle was pure corporate and political theft, all for a free stadium. It's always about that free real estate. Never forget, sports is actually a real estate business where people happen to play games. Then you got the Minnesota Timberwolves. For folks who know me, you know that I went to college in the Twin Cities. You know, when I was there, I met Prince. I met Morris Day and the Time. Coolest city in the world. Prince, rest in peace. And because of that, I also love the Minnesota T-Wolves and the Minnesota Lynx. Prince, a big fan of both teams, for what it's worth. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are the best defensive team in the NBA. They have the best defensive player in Rudy Gobert. And they have a player named Anthony Edwards, known as Ant, who has more personality in his little finger than most of the league has in its whole body. He is just too fun to watch, and he is willing to dunk on anybody and everybody. Now, in the first round, they play the Phoenix Suns, led by Kevin Durant, a Devin Booker, very good player, and our old friend from D.C., Bradley Beal. Now, that's going to be a very difficult round for them. I actually think the Phoenix Suns can upset them because the Minnesota T-Wolves are very young and inexperienced, and experience means everything at the playoff level. And you know what it is? It's that your heart rate goes up when you're playing in these big games and the crowds are cheering. So the team that wins is usually the team that can slow their heart rate down and just pretend they're alone and empty in a gym, and that's a lot easier if you've done it before. So the Phoenix Suns look very dangerous to me, and even though I love the T-Wolves, I don't love them in the first round. And finally, I was asked about the second seed, the New York Knicks, or as Coach likes to say, my New York Knicks. Yes, from New York City. Yes, love the Knicks. Yes, I'm utterly, utterly, utterly head over heels for Jalen Brunson, their star point guard. And yes, the Knicks are playing Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round. And I think they'll make quick work of the 76ers. They don't scare me. Philadelphia, I know you get our broadcast. You don't scare me. The New York Knicks are going to do amazing, and I'm so excited for that to happen. Oh, my goodness. We're running out of time for Zyron Zingers. Let's keep this going. Okay, next question. Next question. Lakers versus Denver are playing in the first round, the Denver Nuggets. And Coach wants to know. In Denver, by the way, the Denver Nuggets are the favorite to come out of the West and maybe even win the whole thing, led by their unbelievable, slow, stocky, yet unbelievably effective center, Nikola Jokic. Not even stocky. That's not even the right word for him. He's just huge. He's a big dude. It's like trying to guard a grizzly bear. And this is what Coach is asking me. He's asking, is the league happy having Lakers-Denver so early, like first round, you know, in that's kind of a marquee matchup. And I think the league is thrilled because you want people to get hooked into the playoffs early. Lakers and Denver will do that. LeBron James will do that. Anthony Davis will do that. Nikola Jokic will do that. It's going to be a great series. Denver, of course, is going to win. They're just too good. But I think the Lakers are going to win a couple of games and make it close. Like, we're talking a six-game series, and I'm very excited about the thought of watching that. Now, one of the main reasons I think the Lakers can keep it close is they have developed a terrific rhythm with somebody who people don't really talk about, and that's their third scorer, D'Angelo Russell, having a career season in Los Angeles. Watch out for him. Next question. I got time for one more here before we get some others. I mean, Coach, believe me, he has more questions here than I have answers. But He's talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. He says, Giannis Antetokounmpo is doubtful to play. Dude has a leg injury. Doc Rivers, their coach, has struggled to be impactful as a head coach. How far will the Milwaukee playoff run be? Look, this is a question about whether or not Giannis can come back. And even if he does come back, this Milwaukee Bucks team, which I picked to go to the NBA Finals before the season began, woo, I'm not looking too smart. Maybe y'all shouldn't be listening to me about anything. But without Giannis, there's just not a lot of chance for them to do any much of anything. And even with Giannis, they were looking very weak. What's crazy is that they had a coach named Adrian Griffin. He was 34 and 12. And they fired him, even though he was 34 and 12, because they thought the team wasn't reaching its potential. They hired Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers' record isn't even 500 with the team. So from 34 and 12 to, I believe he's 15 and 17 as a coach. Wow. Big drop there for Doc Rivers. I don't see them going far at all. I think they could even lose in the first round to the Indiana Pacers. Set it, yup, regret it, nope. That's multiple upsets I'm picking. Suns winning over the T-Wolves, Indiana Pacers winning over Milwaukee, all creating a marvelous lane for the New York Knicks to make the conference finals. But, yo, we just hit 10:30, so I got to go to break right now. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls, or I'm just going to keep talking with coaches' questions. But I would love to take your calls at 202-588-0893. Come call me up with your NBA predictions if you think particularly that I'm off the beam. Call me up if you want to talk about the first issue, which is about Palestine and sports. Everything is fair game. Call me up and talk about the public funding of stadiums. Call me up and talk me about sports gambling and whether or not you think Jontay Porter should have been banned from the league for life. You can reach me at 202-588-0893. We'll be back right after this on The Collision.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the microphone, like Dr. J and Moses Malone. Okay, I'll stop there. This is Dave Zirin here on The Collision. Ah, where sports and politics collide here on 89.3 FM WPFW. I said we'd been taking calls at the bottom of the hour, 202-588-0893. And believe me, whew, I got lots of stuff more to talk to you about, but we do have some calls on the line. Let's get that first call in, and then I'll go on, and I'll tell you all why the Dallas Mavericks are going to win the NBA title this year. Let's go to the first call.
Would that be me?
That would be you, sir.
Oh, all right. Yes, you referred to Dr. J there. That goes back to the Virginia Squires of Norfolk back in the day. You go back that far, you that young day.
I'm too young for the Virginia Squires, but I love you bringing in the history.
Okay. I just, such an interesting topic you've got this morning. I felt compelled to, weigh in on it. And I thought that I would ask us, as a community, a sports community, to use our collective and creative imaginations possibly to consider the utilization of contest sports as a replacement for armed conflict, especially where, the way you were weighing in on Gaza and this and that and the other, and the way that sports and politics collide. That's the theme of your show. And is it possible for, or even remotely realistic, for us to expect general populations of citizens to adhere to the outcome of such games, you know, not of the rollerball type of the future from the movie, but and certainly not from the archaic or ancient Roman gladiator conflict spectacles of the past, but fighting off real beasts of sorts and, you know, but coming up with a solution that, and I know this is probably far-fetched, but I mean, hey, you know, do you think that, you know, we can stretch our imaginations that far out? I mean, it may be a little bit arcane, but give me some feedback, Mr. Zirin. You know.
Oh, I absolutely will. That's a terrific call, and not just because you use the words arcane and archaic, both in the same call. I love that as a vocabulary person. I've got my word of the day calendar right next to me. Let me tell you something. I love this call because one of the things I think we suffer from in 2024 is a crisis of imagination. Like, there's so many people out there who will tell you what's wrong with society and that we need to dismantle the criminal justice system, dismantle the system of war, dismantle income inequality, yet people don't really have an idea of what to replace it with. Maybe that's because of depression about the prospects, but I really think it's because we suffer from a crisis of imagination and a crisis of hope. So could we live in a world where we generalize from the experience of children who play sports the way it is a universal language? The way it's something that transcends all national border, that transcends all the different ways in which we are divided as a society, and use that as a way to settle our conflicts in our society, as opposed to always ending with war. And we all know what happens, to use the African proverb, when elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. And so I'm just so sick and tired of war. I'm so sick and tired of inequality. I'm so sick and tired of violence. Yet at the same time, it doesn't really matter if we're sick and tired if we don't have an idea of what we want to replace it with. So I love this call because I'm all about friction with the imaginary. We have to start asking ourselves what a different kind of world could look like. And if you told me that what the world was going to look like was people trying to settle things peacefully, whether through sport, whether through conversation, whether through debate, well, then that's a world that I want to live in. And by the way, great reference to the movie Rollerball starring James Caan. Great movie. People should check it out. Thank you so much for the call. Oh, my goodness. I think we have Coach Kevin McNutt on the line. I specifically said that he should be kept off the show. So I'm a little surprised the man got through, since we're already giving him enough shine by me reading his questions. But we do have him on the show. Coach Kevin McNutt, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, well, I got connected with Magic Mike, so things can happen. You know what I'm saying?
I clearly. More connections than I do.
Yeah, I told you Magic Mike's my guy. He's from Southeast, deadheaded shop. So I can make things happen. But look, I got you real quick. Excellent job, Dave. I love what you're doing, buddy, on all fronts, man. Really dig it. I do want you to give the folks one of the questions that was down the list. I want your final four. And the final and a champion for the NBA. But I got to talk about this. You touched on the NBA, on the gambling thing. I'm gonna hit and run on that because you know I'm a referee for 30 years, and everybody is always saying the referees are cheating and all this. We are taking the brunt, and now it's even bigger with all the gambling, as you mentioned. So here's what the NBA did. They came down, and they got rid of Jontay Porter, who is Michael Porter's brother, who's a star on the Nuggets, as you well know. Got a lifetime ban. They are patting themselves on the back saying, hey, we got it. The systems work. We caught all this, and we nipped it in the bud, if you will, and he's gone. Hold it. Let's be clear. You might have the system in place to catch it, and a lifetime ban is going to wake up a lot of folks and say, okay, wait a minute. I could be out of the league for good. But here's what's going to happen, and I hate saying it, and I hope it doesn't, but there's going to be an incident off the court where once somebody's losing deep is going to attack a player or a coach. Bickerstaff talked about this a month ago, about how he's received death threats and phone calls to his home and all of this kind of stuff. That's what I'm fearful of. And that I don't think is going to be addressed. And when that happens, then it's really going to get messy. You say?
Coach, I really do appreciate that call. Look, a reckoning is going to happen in the relationship between sports and legalized sports betting. And Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, instead of confronting that fact and thinking about ways to, I think, de-link sports and sports betting, is actually doing the opposite. What he's trying to do is crack down. And anytime, you know, and so you crack down on Jonte Porter, you create an example of him, you tell, send that message to the rest of the players, this is the way it's going to be. And if you think about it, Jonte Porter is the perfect scapegoat because he is a player no one's really heard of on a Canadian team, the Toronto Raptors. So you can hold him up and say, this guy is now banned for life. But imagine if it was a different player. Imagine if it was somebody with a lot of profile. Would they be banned for life? I am very suspicious of that. If you look at the NBA's history, let's talk about another player who might have had a little gambling problem and instead of being banned for life, ended up playing minor league baseball for a year. I wonder who I'm talking about. I'm not saying this individual bet on games. I'm not saying that at all. But it's just to say we all know there are two sets of rules in the NBA. So I think my Adam Silver was probably relieved that it was Jonte Porter. But the thing that I keep coming back to, Coach, on this gambling front is people keep talking about Pete Rose being banned for life from Major League Baseball. But at the very least, in, you know, and I'm not thrilled with bans for life, whatever, but at the very least, that was morally consistent. Baseball did not want gambling in their sport. Pete Rose bet on the sport. Pete Rose was gone. Look at the NBA. It's gambling here. It's gambling there. It's gambling everywhere. And yet the players are going to be the one who pay the price for that if they dare, you know, put their hand in the cookie jar. Now, I'm all for the integrity of the game. I'm all for keeping gambling out of the sport. Let me be clear about that. But to me, keeping gambling out of the sport cannot just be a question for the player. It's got to be a question for the league. But everybody is so happy with their pockets being as fat as they are that they're just going to let this go and go and go. And you're right, Coach. Tragedy. I don't know what form that tragedy is going to take, but tragedy feels like an inevitability. And it seems utterly obtuse to me that we're not going to head off this tragedy before it actually takes place.
You use the word obtuse. I know you're a word guy. That's a big word. I went to night school. I'm not that bright today. What does that mean?
Just really dumb. It's just really dumb, Silver, to not try to deal with this now. That's all I'm saying. And I'll just give you – I know we got some more calls I got to get to, but I just want to give you my NBA Finals. You did ask. To me, it's going to be the New York Knicks versus the Dallas Mavericks. Oh, said it.
Magic Mike, you deal with me. I got to go, man.
Sorry, Boston.
Doncic, who does not know what the other end of the court is all about, is going to win a final. He's ball dominant on the offensive end. And then he does not even try on the defense end. And he's going to go to the finals.
Oh, yeah? You think I'm wrong? Let's bet on it. Just kidding.
Bye. And Dave, Magic Mike, stay frosty. I'm out.
You stay frosty, Coach. You see, Coach always talks like he doesn't like our little catchphrase about staying frosty. Meanwhile, he's the one who wears a winter coat on a summer day and likes telling folks to stay frosty. So just putting that out there. We got another call on the line. Let me just throw out the number in case people want to comment on what's being commented upon. And y'all are always welcome to do that. It's 202-588-0893. Our fearless leader, Katia Stitt, knows that I am trying and we are trying to incorporate more phone calls into the show. Not every week, but we want to do it because we want to connect with you, the listener, in a much more concrete way. 202-588-0893. We've got a call on the line. Yes, please say your name and where you're calling from and who you are.
My name's Victoria from Manassas. And I want to thank you for such a great, excellent educational show. It is absolutely wonderful. I hope that your comments this morning on the children of Palestine and sports will be online somewhere or accessible to be able to read. And my question to you is, I think the women's basketball team, the Iowa team, congratulations. They're great. They're wonderful. Caitlin Clark is super, super, super. My concern is the winning team doesn't seem to be getting much play here. And I'm particularly concerned that this was a team that had a lot of African-American women on it. And where is their shout out? Where is their Glory being identified. I don't hear about their future plans, and so I'm just concerned about that. So I'd like to hear your comments.
Wow, Victoria from Manassas. I wish I could take this call and put it in the freezer and take it out every single week for folks to listen to, because that's an issue that we've talked about, that Etan Thomas has talked about a great deal, both here on The Collision and on social media, because you're absolutely correct. There is this, the WNBA, women's basketball in general, is either having a moment or there is a movement. It might be just a moment where millions of people are really tuning in right now to women's basketball, or this could be a movement where we're going to see the progressive growth of the game. I think it's more movement than moment. I mean, one of the things that proved that to me was the WNBA draft on Monday drew about 3 million viewers. 3 million viewers just to watch the draft. That is a big number. And yes, you are correct. A big part of this is being driven by the fact that Caitlin Clark is doing stuff that we've never seen before on the women's court or the men's court, because she was averaging 26 feet on her three-pointers, highest in the women's game or the men's game. So people tune in just to see that spectacle, and it is an awesome spectacle. I went to the Iowa-UMD game here in February, not a very prominent game, not a game that anybody other than true heads you would think would really care about that much. It took me an hour and a half just to get into the stadium. Hour and a half, because people were lined up 2-3 blocks deep down in College Park. I mean, I was like, what? I've never seen a Wizards game like this. I've never seen a Commanders game like this. I've never seen a Ravens game like this. This is wild. So, and I've certainly never seen a Mystics game like that, although maybe that's changing right now. So that was really remarkable. But all of that being said, the shine that goes to Iowa, sometimes it does feel like it's at the expense of South Carolina, led by Dawn Staley, a team that centers not only amazing, both African-American and, let's remember, Camila Cardoso, who's from Brazil. So we got to say Afro-Brazilian players on this team, and they went undefeated and they won the championship, but also being led by Dawn Staley, Philadelphia's own, out of Orangeburg, South Carolina, who is just one of the great coaches in the game. And if we're not giving Dawn Staley her flowers at this moment, I don't know when we ever will, because she is showing herself to be one of the great coaches in the sport, college, pro, men, women, whatever category you want to put on it. Dawn Staley is at the top of the mountain right now.
And I want to have a mantra every time I hear Caitlin Clark that says, but they lost. In the face of all of this great work that these sisters did, they lost. Iowa lost. Can we remember that? Which means, yes, let's applaud Caitlin, but let's applaud the people who won too.
Exactly. And frankly, let's adhere to tradition in this case, and let's applaud the winners first. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Like, I thought it was a great error a year ago when you might remember this, when Jill Biden, the first lady, Jill Biden, Dr. Biden, invited not just the champion LSU to the White House, led, of course, by Angel Reese, Baltimore's own, but also invited the Iowa team that lost. And the Iowa team, to their credit, did not accept the invitation. They were like, well, the White House visit is for winners, and we did not win. So why would we go? I think that's really important. Like, I think Dr. Biden, Jill Biden, was so caught up in the hype around Caitlin Clark in Iowa that she made a poor choice. And I think everybody right now who's holding up Caitlin Clark in Iowa as if they were the champions is doing a disservice to the incredible season South Carolina had.
Well, I hope, Mr. Dave Zirin, that we will be blessed and fortunate that you might be able to reach out to the coach of a winning team and have her on your show.
Hey, your mouth, God's ears. I will make that effort. I would love to have Dawn Staley here on The Collision. Victoria, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
That was a classic. We've got more calls on the line. We want to take them. Of course, there's so many things on my mind I want to say. These calls have been amazing. Let's get the next one on the line, though. Yes, please say your name and where you're from, and please let us know your question or thoughts.
Yeah, my name is Ed, and I live in Washington/Baltimore. I'm back and forth all the time, and I grew up in Philadelphia. I tend to be a Philadelphia 76ers fan, but I'm also with you with the Knicks because I'm a Villanova fan. And if you are ever a Villanova fan, you would also be a Knicks fan with, I guess it's an alumni association of Villanova. how many Villanova people are there? Four or five on the Knicks right now?
It's a lot.
Right. Hart and Brunson and DeCenzo and who else? Hart is from the Washington area, right?
Yeah, Josh Hart, he went to Sidwell Friends. He's a DC guy.
Yeah, so I'll root for the Knicks. Villanova's had some rough days these last 2 years, but I root for Villanova, too, regularly. So I just wanted to say that. So underscore your selection for the end time of the NBA. So
of that.
Go Knicks. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks indeed. Yes.
Right.
They
right.
did have that's a terrific call. First of all, I got to speak some bias. I've got some family who are Villanova alums, so I'm also very partial to the school. But I'm also very partial to Jalen Brunson, the point guard for the Knicks out of Villanova. Second round draft pick, barely played his first year in the league, let go by the Dallas Mavericks to just be a free agent as if he wasn't worth a hot darn. Signed by the Knicks. The toughest media market, the toughest fan base, the most pressure, and he's done nothing but shine. I mean, played at a most valuable player level. I love what Jalen Brunson has done to transform that Knicks team. I love the hustle of Josh Hart. I love the all-around play, athleticism, and three-point shooting of Dante DiVincenzo, three Villanova dudes at the heart of the action. And I'm very excited to see what they're going to do come playoff time. It is just too good.
I also heard a rumor that the Knicks are going to call in Jay Wright as the new assistant coach. I don't know if that's
brilliant.
True or not.
Now, an actual rumor, though, is that maybe this offseason they're going to look at their old Villanova teammate, Mikal Bridges, currently playing for the Brooklyn Nets, and bringing another Villanova guy into the mix. Mikal Bridges is a terrific player.
Who won the NCAA for them. Yeah. And just one other comment. Who is the other backcourt guy on the 76ers now from Villanova? His name is...
Who do they have? They have Tyrese Maxey in the backcourt.
Not Maxey, no. He's the best one.
Not DeAnthony Melton.
No, not Melton. No, someone who they picked up about the time that Embiid was hurt.
I'm blanking a little bit on that. They've got big ball Paul Reed. I know you don't mean him.
Yeah. No, a backcourt guy, and he just came to the 76ers two months ago. And he's a Villanova alum.
Well, Archin Diacono, perhaps?
No.
We're just going to have to look it up. I do appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your show.
No problem. There are few things I hate more than being stumped, though. So while I do love that last caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I pride myself on knowing. But no, it was a great call. I appreciate you very much. Oh my gosh, we're out of time on the show. I'm really, really apologize to everybody on the line. We're going to do more of these call-ins. Y'all can call in the future. It's going to be fantastic. Appreciate Magic Mike so much for keeping things going on the Wheels of Steel and for playing basketball by Curtis Blow. Number 33, my man Kareem is the center on my starting team. Yeah, and things like that. For everybody out there listening, please, please, please stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace.
Yo, that sound all right, though. Yo, me and Kuzi, this gonna be our new single. And when you hear the story, you say it's all right, though. Yo, yo, yo. yo, Cool V, why'd you give me a cue? One more cue and then I'm ready to go in.
Don't you like when the winter's gone and all of a sudden it start getting warm? The trees and the grass start looking fresh and the sun in the sky be looking at best. Birds be singing, flowers be blooming, a lot of brand new cars be zooming. Fly girls looking the best they could be, and the guys be duking, and you see. Besides all that, I like the warm weather, cause that's when you can get yourself together. But I like Easter time with a grin, cause when I little used to go to Coney Island, we used to eat a lot of stuff like cotton candy. Just back then, it was like fine and dandy. You used to get dressed up in double knits and your plaid suit jackets, and then with a... The good old days was back then, and the reason I reminisce called
spring again.
WPFW is looking for a new place to hang our hats and microphones. And we're betting that members of WPFW's In the Know listening community, folks like you, may know of spaces where we might make our new home. Have you walked past or know of a cool space that appears to be for lease? Hit us to it. Know of something that's not yet on the market? We're all ears. Your station for jazz and justice requires 2,200 square feet of space in Washington, D.C. or immediate environs. Metro accessible with nearby parking. We value your suggestions and observations as we embark on this vital mission. Email your tips to wpfw.lsb.relocation@gmail.com. And thanks for all you do to nourish and sustain WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice. Bye.
Hi, this is Miyuki Williams, recently appointed interim general manager. I want to thank each and every one of you who supported WPFW during our recent relocation drive. You are the fuel that keeps us going. We appreciate your generosity and the collaboration of building a better world one broadcast at a time. Please know we all love you madly.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes!
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Robin Holden, the proprietor of Robin's Place. Every Friday evening from 7 until 10 p.m., Robin's Place is a mythical entertainment center consisting of four floors. On each floor of Robin's Place, we have rooms that are named after people who I think are icons in music, theater, and literature. We have the Nancy Wilson Room, the Joe Williams Room, the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James Baldwin Library, just to name a few. Join me Friday nights from 7 until 10 p.m. as I take you on a musical journey you'll never forget. Robin's Place.
Come the day you're mine, I'm gonna teach you to fly.
The best in live music entertainment is coming this spring to Bethesda Theater. Let's welcome music royalty, The Whisperers, performing all their classic songs for two big shows on Friday, April 26th at 8:30 p.m. and again on Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. Also coming is Trouble Funk, featuring go-go legend Big Tony, celebrating his birthday by performing all their go-go classics on Friday, May 3rd at 9 p.m. And on Mother's Day, it's Howard Hewitt performing his own popular songs and those by Shalamar. But two shows on Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Whisperers on April 26th and 27th. Trouble Funk featuring Big Tony on May 3rd. And Howard Hewitt